Good morning, everyone. Today, the U.S. diplomatic community remembers the late Richard Holbrooke, who died a month ago suddenly at the age of 69, suddenly and tragically. The memorial service in Washington will certainly chart Holbrooke's legacy as a diplomat for five decades. It's hard to believe. He spans really the Vietnam era all the way to last December. But in the faces in the audience, there will also be a vivid reminder of how much the State Department has really changed in the last two generations. Holbrooke was one of a breed of high-powered diplomat intellectuals who are quickly passing from the scene. Does Holbrooke constitute a connection between the John Foster Dulleses of the 1940s and the Foreign Service officers of today? And of the problems remaining in Afghanistan and South Asia, is there the clout in the modern State Department to make real progress here? Here to talk with us about it is Peter Galbraith, former United Nations Deputy Special Representative for Afghanistan. He worked with Richard Holbrooke in his position as the UN Deputy Special Representative. He was also the first U.S. ambassador to Croatia after Croatia declared independence from former Yugoslavia. Ambassador Galbraith, good morning.
Good morning.
So do you think Holbrooke is sort of the last of a dying breed at the State Department, and that the diplomats of today are very, very different from the cast molded people like Richard Holbrooke?
Holbrooke came at a different time and from a different caste. At that time, when he entered the Foreign Service, it was significantly white male and from elite schools. It was already beginning to change, but that was the background of American diplomats, and Holbrooke was himself a graduate of an Ivy League school of Brown. Today, our diplomatic corps is very much more diverse, many, many more women, and women in senior positions, minorities. So it's different. But I actually think that although Holbrooke was unique, that the quality of the Foreign Service officer today is better than it ever was, perhaps because it is unique. Holbrooke was also a blazed trail as a different kind of diplomat. In those days, the caricature of a diplomat, and there was something to the caricature, was a soft-spoken man in a pinstripe suit sipping a martini at a cocktail party. Holbrooke was a very aggressive, although often more aggressive with people back home and actually quite polite with foreigners. He really focused on doing things, and I think that's much more the culture of the modern American diplomat. Holbrooke challenged the conventional wisdom. Certainly he did it in Bosnia and Croatia and the Balkan Wars. There were just a handful of us who dissented from a policy of not doing very much. And then Holbrooke won the bureaucratic battle, and that's what led to Dayton. Today we have many Foreign Service officers who are critical and willing to be critical of shortcomings of U.S. policy. So I think that's something all to the better. In some ways, Holbrooke is less the last of an old-style diplomat, but the first of a more modern diplomat.
Well, he certainly survived, and some would say maybe thrived, in the political battles in Washington when the State Department, I think it's fair to say, was under a certain amount of political siege from the right during the Reagan era, where there was an attempt really to break this gentleman's club for good or ill. I remember the State Department was referred to by some conservatives as the Arabists, and that they needed to be purged, and there were all sorts of pitched battles between Jesse Helms and who was going to be named ambassadors and how policy was going to be projected. What did that do to change the State Department?
Well, just to be clear, Holbrooke actually had left the State Department. He left. He was not a Foreign Service officer for very long. He left after participating in the negotiations to end the Vietnam War, the unsuccessful negotiations in Paris. He went to the Peace Corps director in Morocco, founded Foreign Policy Magazine, became its editor. So he was out of it at that point in time. But the politicization of the State Department during the Reagan period and frankly continued with the behavior of the Congress in more recent times, that has not been healthy. Diplomats need to give policymakers the best advice, and sometimes that advice is not going to be what is politically desirable, and then it is the policymakers, the president and his top-level appointees, who actually make the decision. So I reject the idea that there are Arabists in the sense that you used it and that the right described it, that is to say, people who are pro-Arab. There are simply people who know a lot about the Arab world, and that's exactly what we need.
Peter Galbraith, let's move forward to Richard Holbrooke's influence in Afghanistan. You know, we have the news today in our headlines that the Afghan education minister now says that they've gotten the Taliban to agree to drop a ban on schooling girls, which lends one to believe that the negotiations, the diplomacy going forward between the Afghan government and the Taliban is in some way moving forward without the involvement of the Americans, or is it a part of the diplomacy of the State Department training the Afghans to do these things, these negotiations on their own, the same way we train soldiers to conduct themselves alone?
The goal of U.S. diplomacy is to get a certain result. At times, as it did in the Bosnia negotiations, it requires direct and robust American intervention, such as in the peace negotiations that Richard Holbrooke led. But if, in fact, the Afghan government and the Taliban can themselves come to an agreement, then a smart diplomat would understand that better for us to stand aside. The statement of the education minister would be certainly a step forward, although I think one that one would take with a grain of salt. Among other things, it's never clear in these so-called negotiations with the Taliban as to whom either the Afghan government or various other mediators are actually talking. The previous UN envoy to Afghanistan claimed he was talking to the Taliban when it was very clear that he was talking to people who were not.
Well, before we go then, is that a policy suggestion from Peter Galbraith, the stand aside U.S. and allow the Karzai government to make the best deal it can or go around them?
I think we see what happens. Obviously, we don't endorse a deal that we find repugnant, but in the end, it's Afghanistan, and our influence is limited.
Peter Galbraith, former United Nations Deputy Special Representative for Afghanistan from 1993 to 1998. He served as the first U.S. ambassador to Croatia, talking about the late Richard Holbrooke's influence on Afghanistan and the changing of the guard at the U.S. State Department over the last two generations. Peter, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.